this Brigham Young University Idaho devotional address by Alvin F. Meredith III, president of BYU Idaho, was delivered January 13, 2026.
Alvin F. Meredith III became the 18th president of Brigham Young University, Idaho on August 1, 2023. He was sustained as a General Authority 70 on April 3, 2021, and continues to serve in this role today. Prior to his work at BYU Idaho, he served in a number of church callings, including as a member of the presidency of the Church's Middle East Africa North area and as president of the Utah Salt Lake City South Mission. In his professional career, President Meredith worked in Singapore, Hong Kong, and Nashville as a senior executive of Asurion, a global technology firm. President Meredith earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from Brigham Young University and an MBA in finance from the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Sister Jennifer Edgen Meredith received a bachelor's degree in communications from BYU. She worked in human resources for Franklin Covey. Sister Meredith served as a mission leader with her husband in the Utah Salt Lake City South Mission. She has served as a presidency member in multiple church organizations and as a full-time missionary in the Argentina Salta Mission. President and Sister Meredith were married on June 6, 1998 in the Salt Lake Temple, and they are the parents of six children.
A certain lawyer once tempted Jesus with the question, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responded to the question with a question of his own. "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" The lawyer simply recited the law. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." "Thou hast answered right," the Savior said. "This do, and thou shalt live." The lawyer responded with another question, "And who is my neighbor?" That simple question prompted one of the Bible's most well-known parables. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." The setting alone spoke volumes to Jesus' listeners. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho stretched about 18 miles, dropping nearly 3,000 feet as it twisted through narrow ravines and jagged rock. It was steep, exposed, and unforgiving. There were no crowds, no safety in numbers, and no quick escape. If you stepped on that road and something went wrong, help was far from guaranteed. The greatest danger came from the robbers who haunted it. The parable continues, "The man fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Jericho was known to be a home for many priests and Levites, so the listeners of the day would not have been surprised by their presence on the road to Jericho. The story goes on, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Jesus doesn't explain why these religious leaders didn't stop and help. Perhaps he is giving us the space to examine our own hearts. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Jesus asked the lawyer, "Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" The lawyer replied, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." That invitation is to each of us, and it rarely involves anything dramatic or grand. More often, it's found in small, everyday acts of kindness. Those acts of kindness and compassion are hallmarks of this campus, and one of the ways we strive to live as disciples of Christ. I invite you to continue noticing others and reaching out with even greater intention. President Russell M. Nelson taught one of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. Simple acts, smiles and hellos on the sidewalk, a kind word, reaching out to someone in need, all those little things that you do so beautifully can do more than just brighten a moment. Showing any degree of compassion can echo far beyond what we see. Years ago, we had an unexpected visitor to our ward in Tennessee. Her name was Jackie. Jackie told us that 20 years earlier, she had worked for a newspaper near Nashville editing the religion section. The paper was preparing an article about the church, and she wanted to interview a member, but she didn't know any. So she turned to the phone book. Now, for those of you that are younger than 30, a phone book was like a paper Google, except it just had names and addresses and phone numbers. And she called the number listed for the church. Surprisingly, someone answered. She explained while she was calling, and the man told her that he was busy at the moment, but if she could come by the church on Wednesday, he would make time for her. As Jackie described that meeting, her voice softened. She said the man was kind, gracious, and seemed genuinely interested in her. Then she whispered, "I think he's the most Christ-like man I've ever met." 2 decades passed. One day, Jackie was walking through a business park when she noticed a door that read, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Tennessee Nashville Mission." Her memory prompted her. She walked into what was the mission office and told her story to the senior missionary at the receptionist desk. The missionary gave her the address of the church and the time sacrament meeting started, and that very next Sunday, Jackie was sitting in the overflow of our chapel. I asked if she remembered the man she met years earlier, and without hesitation, she said, "I'll never forget him. His name was Todd Christofferson." 6 weeks after her first visit to our ward, Jackie was baptized. At her baptism, the bishop invited her to share a few words. She stood at the pulpit, hair still wet, and thanked everyone for being there and for becoming her new church family. Then, reflecting on that meeting with President Christofferson, she said, "Brothers and sisters, I hope you'll remember that your lives may be the only Book of Mormon that someone will ever read." That thought has never left me. Peter taught in the New Testament, "Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be courteous." Part of living this teaching and of being a good Samaritan is showing compassion, love, and courtesy to those who may be a little different from us. Throughout history, difference has too often been used to justify division and even prejudice. Jesus did not choose a Samaritan as the hero of the parable by accident. Jews despise Samaritans because of racial, cultural, and religious divisions. Jesus deliberately placed someone from a despised group at the center of the story and then made him the example of righteousness. Christ's message is unmistakable. Prejudice has no place in discipleship, and it certainly has no place at BYU Idaho. President Russell M. Nelson taught with great clarity, "The Creator of us all calls on each of us to abandon attitudes of prejudice against any group of God's children." He then spoke even more directly, "Any of us who has prejudice toward another race needs to repent." President Dallin H. Oaks has pleaded with us, "As citizens and as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we must do better to help root out racism." Let us take President Oaks' plea as an invitation to examine what we tolerate, what we excuse, and what we are willing to confront. Doing better means more than avoiding hurtful words or actions ourselves. It means refusing to be silent when they come from others. As Elder Dale G. Renlund taught, not throwing stones is the first step in treating others with compassion. The second step is to try to catch stones thrown by others. So if you hear offensive racial language, even when it's framed as a joke, have the courage to speak up. If you see someone act with prejudice, do not look the other way. Silence may feel polite, but it's not Christ-like. In the parable, the man was left alone and exposed. Elder Garrett W. Gong recently observed, "Today many feel lonely and isolated." He also said, "In his restored church, we are all better when no one sits alone. Let us not simply accommodate or tolerate. Let us genuinely welcome, acknowledge, minister to, love. May each friend, sister, brother not be a foreigner or stranger, but a child at home." When I was a young bishop in Tennessee, we were neighbors to a wonderful Christian couple named Will and Karen. They weren't members of our church, but they were deeply Christian, good people in every sense of the word. When I would speak in church, I would often invite them to come and see. Every time they declined, but they always did so very politely. Later, I learned Will was studying to become an associate pastor in a small Baptist church in a tiny, tiny town outside of Nashville. When I found out he was preparing for his first sermon, I asked if my family could come hear him preach. To say he was surprised would be an understatement, but he said we were more than welcome. His church services started at 10 a.m. and our church met at 1 p.m., but we had ward council that morning. So I called every member of the ward council and said, "The meeting's canceled, I'm going to the Baptist church." When we arrived that Sunday, we were greeted so warmly. And I don't just mean polite handshakes. I mean genuine, joyful, "we're glad you're here" warmth. There were a couple things they did in that church that I loved. One, they sang a lot like the choir that we heard today. Additionally, if someone liked what the preacher said, they shouted out amen or hallelujah right in the middle of the sermon. Sometimes when I speak, I feel like I could use a good amen or hallelujah. Right in the middle of the service, the senior pastor stood up and said, "Brothers and sisters, it's fellowship time. I want you to stand up and go shake hands with someone you've never met before." Now, this was a very small church, and I don't think there were any other visitors there that day. I felt like I was in a wedding reception line as person after person came by, shook our hands, and said things like, "We're so happy you're here. And we hope you'll come back and worship with us again." I could have felt different and alone in that church, but somehow they made me feel like I belonged. And when our ward council finally met again, can you guess what we talked about? We talked about how to help people feel like they are not alone on the Jericho road they may be traveling. We talked about how to help people feel that they are, as Paul said, no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And here's the thing, the answer isn't complicated. It's as simple as seeing ourselves as neighbor to each individual we interact with and then treating them the way Jesus would treat them. You see, the parable is not really about whether the wounded man is our neighbor. It's about whether we will be neighbor to those around us. The chorus of one of our primary songs captures the central lesson of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Love one another as Jesus loves you. Try to show kindness in all that you do. Be gentle and loving in deed and in thought, for these are the things Jesus taught. In his final hours, Jesus gathered his apostles to partake of the Passover, his Last Supper. In that sacred setting, these are the things Jesus taught. "A new commandment I give unto you,
that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That same commandment stands at the heart of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I want you to know, you already live this in many quiet, meaningful ways. This is a compassionate campus. You notice people, you reach out, you make room. My invitation is not to start doing something new, but to keep doing what you already do with intention. Slow down just enough to see who might be struggling on the road beside you. Notice who feels alone, exposed, or overlooked, and then choose again and again to be the one who stops. Be a good Samaritan. See one another. Choose kindness. Be someone who builds and lifts. Leave people better than you found them. Be a neighbor to all, especially to those who may be a little different from you. As we ponder this parable, may we hear the things Jesus taught as if they were spoken to each of us personally, and then have the courage to go and do likewise. I testify of Christ and of his infinite love for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
For more information about this program, please visit the BYU Idaho website at byui.edu/devotionals.